You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play Stores.
And joining us on the line right now, Susan Verricio, Chief Congressional Correspondent for the Washington Examiner, good friend of this program. Susan, good morning to you.
Good morning, guys.
All right, so yesterday, something that hasn't happened in the 7.5 years that this president has been in office, a veto was overridden over at Capitol Hill by overwhelming margins, and it has to do with this big piece of legislation that would allow the families who lost loved ones in 9/11 to sue the sponsors of what they believe are terrorism. So this is a huge, it wasn't even close on any level, was it?
No, it really wasn't. It overwhelmingly was overridden, the president's veto, in both chambers, one after the other. It happened very quickly, and it was expected. The leaders in both parties said that this was going to happen. I think there was a small effort by some Republicans to actually uphold the veto because of sharing the same concerns the president has expressed about U.S. sovereignty. Because this bill basically opens up the possibility of lawsuits against Saudi Arabia over the September 11th terrorist attacks, and there's some fear that the U.S. can now be held liable for its activities overseas. And there's a question about our relationship with the Saudi government and what will happen. Clearly, they're not happy about this, although they haven't really said anything about it yet. So there are some concerns. You had John Bolton, the U.N., former U.N. ambassador, writing an editorial about it, saying it wasn't a good idea. You had Max Thornberry, chairman of the House Armed Services Committee, saying, look, let's reconsider this. The speaker didn't like it. But, you know, there was too much momentum behind this. And a lot of it had to do with just, you know, wanting to give the families of the September 11th victims an avenue to seek justice. And I think that was really the impetus behind it. A lot of the lawmakers who were on the fence told me that really it came down to just wanting to give them an opportunity to get, get their what they consider to be justice from the Saudi government, right. Even though there's no clear evidence of a connection with a terrorist. There is some indirect evidence that has come out in the past year, especially. That's what's behind this. There's two very powerful sponsors, the number three Democrat in the Senate, Chuck Schumer of New York, and the majority whip, John Cornyn of Texas. So, you know, it had all the right ingredients for this, and that's partly why it got overridden.
And listen, this is a critical moment for a senator. A veto override is not a small undertaking, and it's an important issue, as you just laid out, where there are a lot of strong feelings and national security implications. How each senator stands on this issue is pretty important and instructive. So what do we make of the fact that Senator Tim Kaine of Virginia, on the ticket as the vice presidential nominee, skipped the vote altogether? And his excuse was, well, I was campaigning. Susan Verricio, he was campaigning in Alexandria. He couldn't come in for that. And that doesn't make any sense because Hillary Clinton's on record saying that she supported the bill. So what's the deal with Tim Kaine?
Oh, that's very political, obviously. You know, it's not unusual for presidential candidates to not be around for votes, especially ones where his vote would not have mattered clearly here. Only one person voted to uphold the veto. That was Harry Reid, the minority leader. But he was right there. He could have come and voted symbolically. Why not? You know, what's really at the heart of this, which is really interesting to me, it's just sort of the exclamation point on the president's terrible relationship with Congress. I mean, he couldn't get any Democrats. Oh, Harry Reid, he's retiring. he couldn't get any Democrats to side with him in the Senate. And his relationship with Congress, not just Republicans, was non-existent. And and here you had sort of the final blow to it, what happened yesterday. He has no relationship, but he couldn't get anybody to change their minds on this in the Senate. And they had been lobbying over the past few months to try to pick off some Democrats to side with them. He couldn't do it. He never established a rapport with Democrats, even in Congress. And that's just the legacy of President Obama, just not wanting to work with Capitol Hill. He's really unusual that way. And it hurt him, clearly, yesterday.
All right. I want to turn, if I could, please, to the hearing on Capitol Hill yesterday involving Director Comey of the FBI. And he was up there testifying about, you know, why so many people were granted immunity, including this IT specialist in Denver. Listen very quickly. This is Congressman Jim Jordan.
The clincher. Just last week, he's going online and trying to delete these Reddit posts. He's trying to cover up his tracks. He's trying to cover up the cover-up.
Yeah, I mean, it goes on and on and on. And there, a lot of people were outraged that Cheryl Mills, State Department Chief of Staff to Hillary Clinton, and somebody who also worked as her lawyer, was granted immunity. He got a pretty rough time on the Hill yesterday, Director Comey did.
He did. You know, this whole thing, what's really ironic about all this is Hillary Clinton may escape criminal charges, she might become president, but the person who may be punished the most by all this is Comey. His reputation has just been really taken a hit over this. And a lot of people, the drip-drip nature of all this, the Friday document dumps, the more we hear about the immunity deals and his waffling on her culpability and all this just based on the testimony yesterday, has people questioning, you know, his integrity at this point. And you heard that yesterday at the hearing where lawmakers were doing just that. And I think that he is the person who may, ironically, suffer the most damage from this entire situation. And yesterday was just a pretty bad day for Comey. I think people are getting really frustrated on Capitol Hill with how this is evolving, where she wasn't charged criminally, but here as it all unfolds, it looks more and more like that should have happened. That's what the evidence is showing. And then everyone has been given an immunity deal. Who is left to charge here? The whole situation has just become kind of a joke, really. And I think what's fortunate for Clinton and Comey is that Congress is now out until after the election, so you're not going to hear much more of it.
Unbelievable. And so that's it. There's basically the only thing that's going to change with regard to the investigation into Hillary Clinton's email usage, at least with regard to classified information, is if there is a different attorney general.
Well, and don't forget, Judicial Watch is pursuing these email releases, and there could be more stuff coming out that we get to see, you know, that the courts force to be released. But in terms of the hearings, we have lawmakers coming in and trying to get to the truth before the election. That's over because they're out now. And of course, this was political from the start. I mean, did anybody really think that a Democratic administration was going to let their nominee, you know, end up under criminal indictment?
Yeah.
I never thought that was going to happen, realistically. It just, would that have even been possible?
Well, we were told that James Comey, FBI director, was a man of honor and
not a weasel at all,
and not a weasel, and he would go do his due diligence to make sure this was a pursuit of the truth. That's the thing that we thought.
Yeah. Well, listen. Also, just in passing, and we don't have time to go further into it. They did pass a stopgap measure to keep the government operating, and got some Zika funding. So they were busy yesterday. Thanks a lot, Susan.
Thanks a lot, you guys.
All right, appreciate it.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.